My name is James Strong, joined once again by my co-host Cody Tanner. Cody, how are you on this Saturday evening?
James, I'm doing all right. Work was fun this morning, but now we got the night and tomorrow off, so we're just chilling. How are you doing, my friend?
Okay at best, but happy to talk some Steelers and have some happiness in life here.
Yeah, there we go. I see you're wearing the Debo hoodie, which is nice. He just got signed to his European league again.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, it was an April Fool's joke.
I was just rolling with it. We didn't get to do an April Fool's. We didn't get to do any kind of April Fool's. So
I wasn't sure. You didn't talk about it before the show. So I thought you bit in on it like everybody else did.
No, that would be, I mean, don't get me wrong. He could probably still do it. Not at the same level as far as his speed probably, but I mean, he'd still knock some people out.
Yeah. Plus the league doesn't exist anymore. So
not that one. There's still another one over there, isn't there? There's a different league over there.
Nothing affiliated with the NFL.
Yeah, we just have, they just have.
Sure, but.
Yeah, teams are affiliated with certain countries or have like development stuff over there, but yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but we're going to talk Steelers football. Before we get into that, we have some former Steelers news and some other stuff. And then we're going to talk new uniform numbers. And James, we're going to go over your mock draft. But again, before that, we have Steelers by the Lake news. Month in review, so downloads. Let's talk.
Yes. Number one state from last month was Pennsylvania. Such a weird thing to have happen. At number two was a tie, Cody. California and Ohio both coming in at a tied number.
Not two states you'd normally see tie in pretty much anything, but they tied in this. So.
Yeah, right. Number four, Missouri, who's been real strong for us probably like the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, real strong.
And then a tie again at fifth place from Texas and Virginia.
Yeah, not
so
West
our
Virginia.
Top five has six states in it this month.
Yeah. Yeah. Top five has six, and then West Virginia didn't fall in that, unfortunately. Hoping to get some more people here. Listen, I did my job in Texas. I moved to Texas. I got some followers. I left. I'm in West Virginia trying to do the same.
We had a couple there before you went, but.
That's true. We had a few. But yeah, let's get into. So, former cornerback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cam Sutton. We talked about this a few weeks ago, how he was involved in some legal issues and everything like that. He did wind up turning himself in. And then shortly after that, he was released and the charges were reduced to a misdemeanor. That is a massive reduction from what he was facing originally.
Yeah.
You got to wonder what the heck happened. Was he just hiding somewhere, making phone calls, like proving his innocence about something? Or was he, you know, what the heck was going on? Was he waiting for more evidence to come out before he dealt with this? Were strings being pulled? I don't know. That's just crazy how that worked out.
He was always touted as a very intelligent individual while he was with Pittsburgh. And never once did you ever hear anything about anything shady going on off the field with him, right? Never about him losing his temper. He wasn't fighting people on the field. Seemed like a real even-keeled dude. So it wouldn't surprise me if the whole reason he went missing is exactly what you insinuated, is that he was basically building up a case to defend himself so that he could say, hey, here's some facts around this that you guys didn't realize because you're just jumping to conclusions. And no coincidence that the charges got immediately reduced drastically when he turned himself into police. So I think you're on the right path there, Cody. That's good news for Cam. Obviously, his contract with the Lions was already terminated. So they did not give due process a chance to play out. They just said, see you later, homie. So we'll see what happens. There's a chance with the charges being reduced as heavily as they have been that he gets another shot at the NFL now. So for his sake, you hope so. I don't know who would be interested in picking him up, but teams get kind of desperate. Yeah, teams get kind of desperate when things aren't going well on their depth chart. So
yeah,
you never know what will happen.
I don't expect him to get signed until probably after the draft. I think if a team is looking for a corner and they wind up not getting one they wanted, Cam's a guy that they could probably bring in.
Week one or two of the regular season, you have somebody go down with an ACL and you didn't have a backup plan or, you know, something, you know, somebody gets injured in the preseason, or just all your guys that you thought were going to develop turned into complete just bums.
Yep. Yeah,
that's where it comes into play for Cam. So hopefully he's got an opportunity to get back in the league and things clear up for him. Things not clearing up for a running back by the name of Alfonso Graham, Cody. Not a name most would be familiar with. He was on the practice squad with the Steelers last year, was carried onto the currently 74-man roster on its way to 90 with the NFL draft and the undrafted players therefore after. But he was released, and he was released because they brought in a new tight end, Cody.
Yeah, Michael Pruitt. Michael Pruitt, excuse me. 6'2", 251 pounds, 32 years old. He's an old guy. I shouldn't say that.
Been around the league.
Been
around the league, and most recently with the Atlanta Falcons. How weird.
Interesting.
So now Arthur Smith has brought in a wide receiver that's worked in his system, a running back that's worked in his system, and a tight end that has worked in his system. So it almost feels like some student aides at different positions here to help teach out his system to veteran players that have already been on the team that are unfamiliar with this system. So a little more of a blocker when he came out. He was a highly athletic dude, ran in the 4.5s and very explosive. But now he's 32, so don't expect him to be so explosive. Blocking is kind of more of his forte than receiving. But that's what's asked of tight ends in the Arthur Smith offense. So it might be something that, and I think you're raising your hands, maybe we see a transition to fullback for this gentleman.
Well, maybe.
Would not surprise me.
Not at all. But here's the other thing. I mean, you want to talk about him using tight ends. In the 2 years he spent with Atlanta, he had 25 receptions and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. Red zone monster.
Yeah. So I can't imagine he's going to get a ton of playing time for Pittsburgh. Again, unless he makes that transition to fullback. You're not going to put this guy in over. Yeah, I know. The arm length. I know. I see it. 30.
No, he's got good arm length. He's got good arm length for a shorter tight end. He's got like 33 plus inch long arms. Yeah,
33 and a half.
Great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic length for a tight end.
But he's not. I mean, you're not going to put him in there over Freiermuth or Donald Washington. It's just not going to happen. So
no.
But we will run three tight end sets.
He should be able to handle defensive ends and outside linebackers. That's the key.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what they're using him for. And it's even more interesting to see if he makes the active roster, in all honesty. So, again, fullback transition, we'll see what happens there. New player numbers is what we're going to talk about next. And, James, I like most of these except for maybe like two. But we'll run through in order from lowest number to highest number. Obviously, the two new quarterbacks, actually three new quarterbacks, back-to-back-to-back, Justin Fields with number two, Russell Wilson with number three, no shock at either of those, and Kyle Allen with the number four. So,
yeah. So one thing here, apparently Justin Fields had asked for jersey number one. That is a jersey number Pittsburgh does not hand out, honoring Gary Anderson, the former kicker for the Steelers that was with Pittsburgh for forever.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of ironic there. Don't really understand why they just haven't retired it if they're not going to give it out. But
yeah, George Pickens requested it too.
So wrapping up those quarterbacks, you got number five, Cameron Johnson, the new punter. So 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then Patrick Queen was allowed to wear number 6.
Yep.
So this is a good sign.
I was impressed we let him do that. Pittsburgh's been, you know, the traditional keep the linebackers in the 50s and 90s. But this was an interesting switch up, and I like it. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sick of seeing linebackers wearing numbers in like the 40s and stuff, wearing like 48 and 46. Cause there's nothing else available.
Yep.
You know, if they want to wear a single digit, let them wear a single digit. I'm in on it. Especially since that's what he was already wearing before.
Yeah.
So he wanted to wear the same jersey number. Why ruffle feathers when he comes in? You know, this is your highest paid free agent that you brought in this year. A highly skilled player who was a Pro Bowler and second team All-Star last year. Second team All-Pro, I should say. Let him wear 6 if he wants to wear 6. So I'm in on it. I like it. Going to be funky seeing a middle linebacker wearing 6.
Yeah.
But I'm here for it.
Yep. Then we got the two wide receivers, Van Jefferson wearing number 11. And Quez Watkins wearing number 16. No surprise with either of those two. And then you move on to a guy who's gonna have to be impressive repping this number. He better be coming down making some good hits. Deshaun Elliott wearing number 25. You got to rep that Artie Burns number well. You know what I'm saying?
Dang it, you beat me to it. I was going to say it must be because Artie Burns.
No, if you've been a Steeler fan in the past 20 years, you know that 25 is the Ryan Clark number, man who was notorious for getting flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct hits, knocking some people out, even knocked himself out. He knocked himself out once when he came down and hit somebody. Believe that. Was that Will? No, that wasn't Willis McGahee. I don't remember who that was.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Ravens running back. It was Ravens running back. He knocked himself out too. And then, so I like
Fred McAfee too.
Yeah.
Fred McAfee back in the day, 25.
I like Deshaun Elliott with the 25. I do.
Yeah, it's a good number.
You don't like the next number.
I love the number, but it's weird because 26, my favorite Steeler jersey number of all time because of Rod Woodson growing up with him. Just an elite corner. Turned into an elite safety later on in his career. Dante Jackson, the new corner from the Carolina Panthers, will be rocking that 26. So it's back at the corner position. Instead of it being a 6 foot, 200 pound corner, it is a 5 foot, 180 pound corner. So it's a real, real little guy.
Celebrate the little guys.
Only thing they have in common is the speed. Yeah. Only thing they have in common is the speed. That's it.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully he does some good service to the jersey number 26 because I hate it when people have 26 and they're not good.
Listen, I'd love for the next guy to do some service to the number and be a playmaker like the last guy to truly wear it was, hopefully without a little bit of the drama behind it. But 84 goes to Cordarrelle Patterson. Again, playmaker mayhem, leading NFL kick return touchdown specialist, crazy on offense. Won the heavy hitter or angry run award last year. Yep. So we have, like we said before, we have three guys on the team now. I like 84 for him, just not in Pittsburgh, I guess. I don't know. I don't like that. I don't know. It's so weird. It's not seeing Brown on the back of that jersey.
And it's kidding. He's going to line up as a running back most of the time. So that's going to be kind of weird too, with an 84 in the backfield. When he's doing kick returns, I don't think it's going to look too abnormal.
No.
Because, yeah.
The hair will. The hair is going to look.
AB was a really good kick return, man, especially when he was kicking Brown's punters in the face and stuff. So an electric player, no doubt. So at least it's going to be to a highly skilled electric ball player that when the ball is in his hands, you never know what's going to happen. So weird because of the position he's going to play on offense. But at least on special teams, very electric guy, just like AB was.
Yep.
Final one, we're up and down on this, Cody. You're not a big fan of it. I kind of like it. Dean Lowry and the new defensive lineman, who, by the way, it was a two-year contract. I thought that was going to be a one-year deal. And it sounds like he got more than league minimum as well. I didn't hear official numbers on that. So this could be a puzzle piece for a couple years for Pittsburgh here.
Interesting.
94 is the new jersey number for Dean Lowry. I'm betting that's what he wore in the NFC North, although I don't know that offhand. Tyson Alualu had 94. Already kind of used to a defensive lineman wearing 94. Cody, you're a little more of Lawrence Timmons memories and making it tough for you, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. There's something about 94 that doesn't look good to me. The number. Mm. Maybe it's just the number. I don't know.
Mm. Could not be me.
But I also, like, I'm processing other numbers. Like, it couldn't be 92 because I'd think of James Harrison. It couldn't be 91.
Kevin Green.
It couldn't be 90 even because of, was 90, Casey Hampton?
He was 98.
So it couldn't be 98.
Yeah.
It couldn't be 99 because of the beard. Nobody better wear 99 ever again.
You probably could have slapped 76 on him and you would think Chris Hoke, and that's exactly what you're hoping that Dean Lowry will be, as a very highly skilled backup defensive lineman.
Yep. So what number was Ziggy Hood?
96.
96. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of it, but hopefully he makes me like it a little bit more.
I kind of wanted to buy a Ziggy Hood jersey when he first came into the league, just because then I'd have a jersey that said Hood. And I think that's pretty cool. But
you should have bought a jersey with a hood that said Hood.
Instead, I got a Mel Blunt, so that's also a fun one.
Yeah, that's There you go. Yeah, you got that for sure.
Which is even more ironic since I don't partake, but whatever.
Whatever. It is what it is. We'll see. Listen, I'm excited to see what new jerseys are going to be available because there's going to be at least five, right? Here when we go over this mock draft.
I mean, they have seven picks now.
Yeah, we're going right to trade now. Two. We're going to trade two. It's okay.
I mean, we'll see. Omar Khan is very, very open to moving up and down the field. So you never know what he's going to do. It sounds like you're ready for me to get you my first mock draft of the season here.
I'm very ready for this mock draft. Let's get this mock draft going. Jeez.
With my first pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 20, I had a few offers trying to trade out of the pick. I did not want to trade out. I wanted to secure a position. There were a large number of great options available here. I wrote them down so I could tell you guys exactly who I was choosing from. So the way this particular mock laid out when I had to go through a bunch of them, a lot of bugs on the site I was using. Unless I got it going here. Amarius Mims, the tackle from Georgia, was available. Jackson Powers Johnson, the highly touted center, was available. Also, Cooper DeJean was available at pick number 20. Wide receiver Keon Coleman was available. So I had some pretty good options from the, I would say, four of the major positions that Pittsburgh needs right now on the roster. I decided to go in the center direction, but not the direction that you're thinking. I went with Graham Barton out of Duke. There is a very large push lately for Graham Barton to possibly be the best center in this draft, from the common knowledge of it being Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. Those are the two more common names. Graham Barton played left tackle most of his career at Duke, but his freshman year played center. So he is comfortable with the position. He's 6'5", 313, arm length 32 7/8 inches, which is pretty good for a center. But that's exactly why people are expecting him to kick inside and have to play center or guard. And he has that center capability from his freshman season with Duke. So that's the direction that I went in the first round. It's a glaring hole on Pittsburgh's roster right now. They're apparently going to rely on Nate Herbig, which last year, to be brutally honest, that's something that Cody and I suggested multiple times throughout the season when we saw the struggles that we had there at that position from Cole. He was just absolutely struggling. And we both suggested, hey, let's try Herbig out there and see if he can do any better, because I don't think he can be a whole lot worse. This is just a plan of, hey, top-tier athlete, top-tier player. Let's plug this position with somebody that can start for the next 10 years. So that's the route I went in the first round. Second round, stayed again at the natural position of 51 on the board. A lot of good available talent there as well. So linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, one of the top middle linebackers in the draft, was available at this position. A couple of big boys, offensive tackle Patrick Paul and defensive tackle Michael Hall, both available here, which would both take care of some needs. Hall more of a 3-4 defensive end type that could kick inside. What I decided to do was take care of the wide receiver position, because I believe that wide receiver 2 is not on the roster right now. Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky was available, and that's exactly the direction I went. He's a 5'11", 215-pound wide receiver. On his pro day, he was clocked in the mid-4.4s, so not blazing fast, but very good speed. Very hard to bring down, a good route runner. Think Deebo Samuel type. So you hit him, you bounce off. You better really bring the wood when you tackle a guy like this, and a good route running technician. He's already been brought in for one of the 30 meetings that Pittsburgh does with these people. So definitely something that we should have our eyes on. And wide receiver, I think if Pittsburgh doesn't address it within the first three rounds, they're probably not getting an upgrade over Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins, which could be an issue. So third round came around for me, pick 84, which is the first pick that Pittsburgh has in the third round. We've got two of them this upcoming draft here. A few good options available here. Did you want to give it a, I'm just kind of cruising right through. I didn't even give you a chance to speak on these first two.
No, drafts, you're good. You got... I was just looking. I was upset that there wasn't a bench press for Graham. There's no stats recorded for his combine. His pro day, his 40-yard dash was great for a guy his size. He ran a 4.84.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's great. So excited for that and excited to potentially get a guy that's sneaky like that. You always have sneaky offensive linemen that get drafted and they actually turn out to be very, very good, you know, day one or future starters. The interesting thing about Malachi that you said, Bengals receivers coach attended the pro day for him as well as a wide receiver coach for the Ravens. Attended, so two division rivals look at this guy as well. Thought that was interesting.
Screams AFC North, doesn't he?
Yep, most definitely.
Anytime you can get a physical dude like that, that goes well in the AFC North.
Yep. So those are my big two takeaways from those guys.
All right. So at pick 84, I've addressed the center position. I've addressed the wide receiver position. Leave some big glaring holes still, in my opinion. Defensive lineman available here, Dwayne Carter, both available at this spot. Safety Jackson Bullard was available also. So had some nice options. The offensive tackle room was pretty heavily decimated at this point.
Yep.
So it's kind of a landmine. If you don't get your offensive tackle in the first two rounds, you might as well wait a couple of rounds is the way it looks like the draft falls out. What I did have available to me and jumped all over because, in my opinion, this is the top guy at his position in this draft, is Mike Sanristil out of Michigan. Mike, the top nickel corner in this draft class.
Yep.
Weighed in at 5'9 and 3'8", 182 pounds. Arm length only 30 7/8 inches, but at nickel corner, that's not as important. Ran a 4.47 40, 14 reps on the bench, a 40-inch vert, a 10.11 broad. He's known for being an incredible tackler. He's great against the run, better in coverage than he is against the run. And honestly, if he was 2 inches taller, we'd be talking about him in the first round. But because of his height, he's thought of as a nickel-only option. Well, that's exactly what Pittsburgh needs. The biggest weakness that we've had at the nickel position for as long as I can remember is not having a guy with speed. Usually we have small, quick dudes and they're good against the run. Well, this is somebody that has everything. So he's got the good against the run that Mike Hilton had and can carry someone vertically, which Mike Hilton could not do. He was very poor in covering somebody as soon as they started running downfield. He got outran because he just didn't have the long speed for it. To me, if you can pull off Mike Sanristil in this draft, oh, man, that's just a dream come true at the nickel corner position. You might be right away having a top five nickel corner in the entire NFL if you can draft this kid.
Interesting. Yeah, just impressive numbers all across the board from his combine. Most interested finding out here that he's only played cornerback in college for 2 years. So seeing how that transitioned into the NFL style cornerback room would be very interesting. So I like the pick. We need a corner. That we do.
We need a corner and specifically nickel corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Dante Jackson is an outside corner. He is not a, he's the size of a slot corner, but he can't play it. He's not a good tackler. So it's not something that you can just slide him inside because he's small and fast. Not really going to work that way. So next pick for Pittsburgh is pick number 98. Which used to be a compensatory pick for the Carolina Panthers, acquired in the trade from Deontay Johnson to Mr. Jackson there. I was surprised to see him still available. Mason Smith, the defensive tackle out of LSU, was still there. He was somebody I was considering at the previous pick at 84. So honestly, I jumped all over him. Yeah. This is a defensive lineman with defensive end capability. 6'5", 306 with 35-inch long arms. His 40-yard dash was a 5.01, which is not too bad for a guy that big. That's pretty decent. So he's got some flashes of pass rush ability. Got the length to be able to disengage off of blockers.
What was the name again?
The Mason Smith out of LSU. Yeah. So this would give us a new guy in to push Isaiah Loudermilk, to push DeMarvin Leal. And it's either going to push these guys to be better or it's going to push them off the roster. But it's something that Pittsburgh needs to do. If they don't address defensive line in the first two rounds, I really feel strongly that they need to do it in the third round to get somebody skilled enough that you could possibly develop into a quality starter. Because we're in a situation where three of our top four defensive linemen on the roster right now are on the wrong side of 30. That's a big problem, man. You got to get some youth and some people that you can develop into future starters. Mason Smith would fit the system perfectly as a 3-4 defensive end who could kick inside and pass rush on nickel and dime type situations. Any thoughts on Mason?
Big guy. 6'5", 306, 35-inch long arms, just like you said. Would be very enjoyable to watch him manhandle some offensive lineman. And just to get a big body like that in there would be really exciting. I don't know the last time we've gotten someone. Don't get me wrong, Keanu Bennett's big. But I feel like I didn't get to watch him manhandle anybody as much as I would have liked to or thought. And hopefully that changes next year. So we'll see what happens. But I like the size and I like the position for sure.
I feel like Keanu got a chance a few times throughout the season, mm-hmm. but he wasn't getting more than like 20 to 25 snaps. So you'd see like once or twice a game where he just bully somebody, but I can't wait for Keanu's chance to start repping like, you know, 40 to 45 plays a game and really start having a major impact. So next pick for Pittsburgh gets us into the lone fourth round pick, which is at pick 119. We got here and I have at this point addressed four of the biggest need positions that I feel. Now I'm starting to look at who's available, just talent available in the draft. So I was able to get another one of the guys that I really like that isn't going to go high in the draft, but can kind of fill two needs at the same time. Safety Tyke Smith out of Georgia. Tyke Smith is 5'10", 202, ran a 4.46 40 at the combine, 36-inch vert, 10 feet on the broad jump, a very good athlete, a thumper, absolute thumper, who plays a lot of nickel corner as well. So you can play him at strong safety, you can play him at nickel corner. He's got the versatility to do both for you. So this is somebody who could be a long-term replacement for Deshaun Elliott. Also could slide inside and in your dime situations be the other slot cover guy. Mm-hmm. So your two outside guys, and then you got your two inside guys. And man, on third and short situations, if they march out three wide receivers, I wouldn't think twice about sticking Tyke Smith over that slot wide receiver and watch him go blow up a run play. Because, man, he was really good in the game. I forget if he was East West or Senior Bowl, but I remember him really popping out and being somebody that we talked about after that game of really sticking out and having a nice game. Yeah. So addressing kind of two positions, but I think safety would be the first place that he'd see the field.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the pick. Multi-purpose kind of guy from Pennsylvania, hometown's Philadelphia. Coming to the better of the two cities. I don't know. I like it.
Woo! The flooded of the two cities right now. Have you seen any of those pictures,
yeah,
Cody?
Holy yeah, it's cow. Ridiculous.
It's like my backyard going on in Pittsburgh right now. All right, so we got two picks left in this draft. Both of them six rounders. First one is going to be at 178, which is very early in the sixth round. It is the second pick of the sixth round. At that position, I was looking to fill something I hadn't addressed yet. Offensive tackle, there was one by the name of Christian Jones from the University of Texas available. This is a lump of clay guy. You know how much I love clay guys. 6'5", 305 pounds, 34.5-inch long arms. So he's got the height, weight, and length that you're looking for. Get somebody in the room to try to develop because we're going into – the final season with Dan Moore Jr. And if you don't address offensive tackle in the first or second round, I think you kind of might as well wait until later on to address it. Because I don't see a third or fourth round guy good enough that will be available in this draft class that will actually beat out Dan Moore. So if you do it in the third or fourth round, you're still in the same situation. So why not just grab a guy later on instead and see what you can develop out of him, Spencer Anderson, Dylan Cook, maybe one of these guys can develop enough to unseat your left tackle and Dan Moore. But a lump of clay depth guy for me.
Yep. No, I like it. I don't have much to say about that pick again. Just like what you said, at some point you got to address it and get somebody in there. Why not now? Yeah. It's a good pick. 34 and a half inch. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It's almost like if you don't go first round with offensive tackle, just go sixth. It's kind of crazy in this draft.
Yeah.
So speaking of the sixth round, final pick for me at 195.
You drafted a punter. I'm just kidding.
don't need it now. No, I was planning on doing that with my mocks until we went out and got Cameron Johnson. Oh, good. I don't have to do that now and try to find a film on freaking punters. No, thank you. I would much rather talk about a guy who really impressed me at his bowl appearance. Again, the East-West Shrine Bowl. There was a pass rusher who absolutely jumped off the film, was all over the place, getting after the quarterback like crazy, really looked the part. I was surprised to see him available here, but he's from a small school, so that's probably part why. Mohamed Kamara, outside linebacker from Colorado State. Best available player kind of selection for me at this point. Let me tell you a little bit about Mohamed Kamara. 6'1 3/8", 248 pounds, so a fairly well-built dude. 32 3/8-inch long arms, 4.57 40, Cody.
Fast.
He's a very, very fast first step. Great edge capability to get around that corner and up the field. 23 reps on the bench, 34 and a half inch vert, 10-3 on the broad. He's just a very good pass rusher who's got that ability to bend and get up the field and good strength as well. So this to me would be the kind of guy that if you bring him in, your top four outside linebackers are secure and you don't have to think about it again for another 2-3 years and until you're re-upping TJ Watt on his next extension kind of thing. I would be really excited about a guy like this, and you wouldn't have to worry about, oh no, what do we got two outside linebackers down and now come. No, you actually should be excited. This is a guy that has potential kind of like Nick Herbig for splashing out there as an edge rusher. So
yep.
I'd be excited if he was somebody they drafted that late. Not that it's the position that I want them to draft, but I felt like I'd addressed all the big needs on the roster, so I was willing to take a swing at an edge rusher late.
Nope, I like it. I think it's a position that we kind of don't see a need at because we think of Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt. Getting mm-hmm. someone in the room to kind of help out with that is good for the future and injury, knock on wood. If anything happens.
Yeah, they almost always have at least four outside linebackers, sometimes five. And it looks like we're probably losing the one guy in free agency unless he comes back.
Yep.
And I'd love to have him back, right? He was great. He had like 3 or 4 sacks in his part-time duties with Pittsburgh last year. And you got to be excited about Nick Herbig. But this is just a move to keep the room replenished and keep it young.
Yep. Yep. With that being said, that wraps up your draft picks. Love the draft. Addressed all the needs. You got offensive line. You got offensive tackle late. You addressed the center early. You got a wide receiver. You got the cornerback. A lot of things moving in the right direction with that draft. I like it. Again, if you guys want to share your draft picks, if you do a mock draft simulator, send us screenshots of them or send us a full. If you send us a full fledged thing of explaining why you chose these people, who was available, we'll share it on the podcast. We'll share it on social media. So make sure you guys do that. And again, I will be doing my mock draft next week, and then we'll do one more roughly a week before the draft or the week of, somewhere in there. So be excited for that and those things coming forward. So again, James, good draft. Hopefully we can land on one or two of these guys and get something going with the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. So again, thank you guys so much for watching or listening, and be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It is free. Don't forget the 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Make James really happy. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.